Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Each month, cellist Robert Cohen joins us to talk about life as a touring classical musician in a segment we call On That Note. We've talked about traveling with an instrument, how you deal with performing while jet-lagged, and the reality of missing your family when out on an extended tour.
Well, this month, it's all about everyone's second favorite topic, the weather. For most of us, weather is either nice or annoying, but musicians monitor temperatures and humidity levels with a devotion verging on the fanatical. Robert joins me on Skype now from his home in London. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Bonnie. I'm very well. It feels so long since I last talked to you.
I know. It's not been that long.
But, you know, sometimes it just seems so long.
Well, we've both been so busy, and that's part of it, too. And one of the things that is so interesting, I was about to say happy March, which it is, but in the UK, things are a little wintry right now.
Yeah, well, I just got back, luckily, even, because, I mean, it just had Siberian snow. And pretty much everything comes to a standstill. And my flight came in from Vienna. And I thought, well, that was just lucky. That was just lucky.
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures from friends in Scotland where it's like 10 inches of snow, 12. Now, here in Wisconsin, we kind of go, oh, okay. You know, but I know in the UK that's rare, unless you're up on Ben Nevis or something like that.
Yeah, and it's 80-something percent humidity, which makes it feel miserable.
And so, of course, my thought goes to how the heck do you protect an instrument in that kind of weather? Because just because there's snow and it's that cold, you're not stopping your career. You're not stopping tours. Musicians are still going places and playing. You know, how do you protect your cello in that kind of extreme temperature?
Well, if you imagine it's like taking, I mean, my cello is almost 300 years old. So it's like taking a 300-year-old man out in the snow, really. I mean, it's frightening. I mean, you think that the instrument is like, you know, an eighth of an inch thick wood. And it's so old and so fragile. And you suddenly expose it to this freezing temperatures. And perhaps even worse than that, the complete lack of humidity sometimes. It can be so dry. And that real worry about the wood cracking and the glue that holds it together drying out and the whole thing falling apart. I mean, I've had nightmares, like most musicians have nightmares, of opening the cello case and finding a pile of dust at the bottom, you know. Can be such an awful thought. And, you know, it is really worrying. And I'm hearing stories of people all over the world, actually, with their old instruments cracking. And it's so dangerous. It's like, can you imagine like a drum skin cracking and then trying to still use the drum? I mean, it just not going to work when it cracks.
So what do you do? I mean, obviously we've talked about cases before, and that protects the instrument from bumps and bruises, physical ones. But does the case protect from cold in any way?
Well, not a lot. And you know what? I've discovered fairly recently that I put the cello into a silk bag. So I enclose the cello. It's a bit like wearing something silk. It seems to slow down the insulates quite well. So I put my cello into this silk bag and tie it up and then put that into the cello case. And I have to say that, you know, I'm obviously trying to be outside for as little time as possible, trying to get from the house or the hotel into the taxi or somewhere like that as quickly as possible. And that silk bag does seem to be quite effective. You can tell, actually, because the bows, which are in the case as well, they're not in the silk bag. And when you take them out to use them, they're really freezing. I mean, they just lose their heat immediately. But the cello seems to be a little bit warmer, which is, you know, it's gratifying and also just not, you know, it stops me worrying quite so much about it.
Well, is it the change in temperature that's so bad for it, or is it just the cold itself?
No, I think the change of temperature, when it's very dramatic, obviously isn't going to do it any good. And I suppose, really, if it's when it's so dry, what happens is all the moisture in the wood disappears, and then it becomes so brittle and so hard, and it shrinks, in fact. And In fact, with the bows, for instance, when there's no humidity, the hair of the bow shrinks and it tightens the stick really. You have to keep loosening it to try to deal with that difference in tension. And that you feel that with the strings as well, because they're drying out when you play. And they become much more resistant to moving. And when you're playing softly and it's really dry, for instance, it's very hard to make the sound. And you know, you're playing something quite loud and then gradually play softly. And then suddenly the strings, they just won't move because the dryness is affecting them. And it makes it very difficult to control the sound at that point. And sometimes when you're rehearsing and you're with a group of people and everything seems to be okay to start with, but at, you know, over an hour or two, the instruments all dry up and everybody's struggling madly to make quality sound. And, you know, for instance, the moment you get the opportunity to try to rehydrate the instrument, you know, I get back to my hotel room, for instance, I'll put on a hot shower and steam up the room as quickly as possible and kind of let the instrument drink the water in, because I feel, you know, it's going to feel so much happier. And then I leave hot water in the bath to try to keep the humidity level up. And I have a meter, a hygrometer, which measures all the time, you know, what the humidity level is. So I try to keep the cello happy. I mean, it's like a baby or a very old man. I'm not sure which.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Of both. But, you know, it's a major consideration at this time of the year. And certainly, you know, it's something that I'm thinking about all the time. I'm watching that meter. Even in my own home, I'm watching that meter to make sure that it's okay, that we're within those kind of tolerances.
Now, I know that for pianos, concert pianos, that a lot of them, for that very reason, will have humidifiers that will, when they're not being played, you know, backstage, they are covered and all of that, but there's a humidifier that's trying to keep that humidity steady. Is there such a thing for cellos?
Well, actually, there is something that you can put into either into the cello case or even as a kind of rubber device, which is like a long tube with holes in it that you slide into the cello. It doesn't actually go all the way in, but it kind of sits hanging inside the instrument, which gives off a certain amount of humidity. And that is very, very helpful when it's in the case. But of course, once you expose the cello to a much bigger area in the room, that little tiny amount of moisture that's been seeping out is kind of nullified, really. So then it's a question of what's in the room. And actually, it's just making me think that, you know, the other thing is when the instrument's really cold, when you get into to play it, when you take it out of the case and start to play it, because there's the wood of the neck and the fingerboard, and, you know, there's a certain amount of wood that is holding the cold. And when you put your warm hands, you put your fingers on the strings and on the wood of the instrument, all the heat goes straight out of your hands. So even if you feel warm and you've done some extra warm-ups because of the cold, when you start to play the instruments, your hands can suddenly get really, really cold because all the heat disappears into the instrument.
I was going to ask, because not only is the instrument affected, obviously, by the cold, but so is the musician. And yeah. I hadn't even thought of that, but that's a basic law of physics. How long does it take for that to equalize?
Well, I mean, if you're playing in a church, which is cold, the instrument may never really warm up. And your hands also may never really warm up, because even though you're generating heat in your body as you move, it just goes out of your hand so quickly into the wood. And you might just struggle to kind of keep relaxed and, you know, not to even injure yourself in cases like that.
I wonder if, and I have no idea how this would work, but are there such things as fingerless gloves that you can play with that are skin tight? You know, not the kind of bulky ones that we think of, you know, Scrivener type gloves, but, you know, I was thinking there must be some sort of thing that would not affect your playing ability and your ability to respond and feel the instrument, but would also try to keep some of that heat in your hands.
Well, you've got me going now. I'm going to have to research that.
Think we have to invent it.
Yeah.
If it hasn't happened.
The thing that I do sometimes do is that I have kind of a soft cloth, which I use for just dusting the instrument. They were taking the rosin off the instrument after I've used it. And sometimes when I know the instrument's really cold, what I'll do is I'll just place that cloth on some sort of radiator or something warm, not too warm, and then I'll just wrap the neck of the cello in that cloth for a few seconds to try to warm it up very slightly, at least take the chill out of it, which is a way of helping me more than anything else.
Right, because as you say, if your fingers are stiff, your hands are cold, your body's cold, we stiffen up. The wood gets stiff and brittle, so do we.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing is if you've been playing continuously for an hour and you are really warm, but your hands are still cold, it's just a very disturbing feeling. You know, it's just very unnatural. But that's just one of the things that we have to deal with that maybe nobody really thinks about. They may be shivering with their coats and hats on in the audience, maybe with rugs over their knees, but they think we're warm because we're so active, but in fact we might be freezing cold too.
Right, and trying desperately to make music while you're freezing cold. Yeah.
Yes.
Have you ever had a time where you did take the cello out of the case and found, oh my gosh, a crack?
Well, actually, I did, not a crack, luckily. I did once open my case and found that one of the joins, which are normally glued, completely open. So between the front of the instrument and the sides of the instrument, I could literally put my hand in. It was one of the most shocking experiences I can remember. And it's because the instrument's under so much pressure by the strings through the bridge onto the belly of the instrument. There's so much pressure that if some of the joints open, they can literally spring open, maybe, you know, a quarter of an inch, half an inch, or even more sometimes. And that's also happening a lot. And I've heard also from other musicians in the last few days who've had that problem. And it's not something that can be fixed really, really quickly because it has to be re-glued and repressed and the glue has to dry. And they can't use super glue or anything like that because the way instruments are made, that glue has to, in a way, it has to fail before the wood cracks. So it's better that the glue fails than the wood.
Right, because if it was super glue, then the wood would just crack around it.
That's right. Yeah. And also when you have to have some maintenance done on the instruments, so very occasionally, they do actually have to be opened up. And that glue has to melt easily, using heat and so on in the right way, so the instrument maker can take it apart without, again, cracking or destroying the wood.
So what did you do when you found that it had split? Did you have to use a different instrument?
Yeah, I did, actually. I took my cello straight away to an instrument maker who set to work, and then I had to borrow something in the meantime. Luckily, I wasn't on tour or anything, so I was able to, you know, just to work on this other instrument to practice and not to actually have to give a concert. But it was a kind of wake-up call for being yet more attentive to humidity levels and temperature levels all the time. And it's that sticking towels in the vents, in the air conditioning vents in hotel rooms to stop it drawing out all the humidity from the room, you know.
Which is actually better for your sinuses, too, when you think about it.
We
don't do well in that super dry weather either. I mean, we're living things just like the wood was. So
that's absolutely true. And just the other day when I put the shower on in the hotel room and it was steaming out, I just immediately felt, oh, that's so nice to get that. Breathe in that humidity. It's actually really kind of relaxing.
You and the cello relaxing in the humidity. Well, with that image in my mind, I want to thank you very much. And here's hoping that your wintry stuff goes away soon and that spring arrives. And the next time we talk to each other, we will not be worrying about it being too cold.
Let's hope for that.
Robert, as always, it's such a pleasure.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Cellist Robert Cohen joins us each month in our series On That Note.